1 Corinthians chapter 7, that probably sounds familiar by now, as this chapter has been our text the last 2 weeks, but yet we were looking at a little bit different subject during those weeks, and that was investing in our marriage. And tonight I want to take a look at marriage in general, and maybe more specifically marriage, divorce, and remarriage. And there are two reasons why I think that it's important for you to know what the Bible teaches about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. The first reason is because it will cause you to enter marriage very carefully.
Amen.
When you understand what the Bible teaches about the subject, you'll realize how serious it is to select the right spouse. And some people may not like my choice of words there, selecting the right spouse, but like I've said before, I know God brings or will bring the one He wants you to marry into your life, but you've got to select them. You've got to determine that, yes, this is
right.
The one that God has for me. And I think if you understand what the Bible teaches on these subjects we're going to address tonight, you'll take much greater care in ensuring that you're marrying the person that God wants you to marry. Because once you marry him, that's who you're stuck with. All right? You're chained to him. We're going to look in our verse here, our text in a moment. It's going to talk about being in bondage. Bondage to your spouse. Once you marry him, that's it. You're chained together till death do you part. So I think if you understand this, it causes you to enter marriage very carefully. And then secondly, I think it's important for you to know what the Bible teaches about these subjects is because doctrine determines behavior.
Right.
And so what you believe about marriage and divorce and remarriage will determine how you behave. And if you don't understand what the Bible teaches on these subjects, you're very likely at some point in the future to do something that's unbiblical. I mean, what do you do when you're having marital problems? Well, if you think that divorce is an option, then you put it on the board. It's an option. It's one of the things that you can choose to do. But if you understand that biblically, that's not right, then you scratch that off as an option. So again, you need to know what the Bible teaches on these subjects. And I would submit to you that you need to understand what the Bible teaches on these subjects before you ever have marital problems. Hopefully before you ever get married. Otherwise, your problems may distort a correct interpretation of the Bible because you may have a predisposed outcome that you wish to come to. If you want a divorce, then you're probably going to find it as acceptable in the Bible, whether it's there or not. So it's important for us to understand what the Bible teaches on these subjects before we're ever faced with them in reality, that is, faced with marital problems, faced with the pending divorce and that type of thing. And I realize that these are this, and if you want to say it as one subject, this subject creates a lot of division amongst Bible-believing people. I mean, the smart preacher, he probably just doesn't preach on divorce and remarriage at all, right? I'm kind of joking there. But preachers know that this is a subject that if you intend to address, you're bound to have some problems, even in a small church like ours. I remember a preacher telling me one time he had a message all prepared about marriage and divorce and remarriage, and he kept that message on his desk for weeks and just prayed to God, you know, when would you have me to preach this message? When would you have me to preach this message? And after a few weeks went by, he finally felt one morning that the Lord would have him preach that message. And yet before he preached it, he brought all the men in the church together in his office and he said, "Gentlemen, this is the subject I'm going to be preaching on. This is how I'm going to preach it, and I want you to pray with me here this morning." And he said that made a world of difference, because then he went in and entered the pulpit and preached that message, and as he got to preaching it and some of those old ladies began looking around at one another, all the men in the church were just kind of nodding their heads in agreement with the pastor. And he said it made a world of difference because he had gotten those men on board and had waited for the leading of the Lord in preaching that message. So I understand that this is a subject that can create a lot of animosity between believers. But I do want to say that there's no reason for any of us to be hostile about this subject. We don't have anyone in our church contemplating divorce that I know of. We don't have anyone in our church with a living spouse contemplating remarriage. And we're not in the process of calling a pastor. Brother Miller probably knows what I'm talking about in relationship to that, because a lot of times one of the questions that will be asked of pastors when they're candidating is, what do they believe about marriage and divorce and remarriage, especially as it concerns or as is related to pastors themselves. And so we don't have any of those types of things going on in our church, so I don't believe that I should be stepping on anybody's toes too hardly this evening as we look at this subject. I don't believe that it's important for you to believe what I believe about these subjects. I believe it's important that you come to your own convictions about what the Bible teaches in regards to marriage, divorce, and remarriage. So as I preach this message this evening, if you've not come to your own convictions, if you've not come to your own conclusions, I encourage you to write the verses down that we reference and look at, and take what I have to say home with you, study on it, pray over it, and come to your own God-given convictions about what the Bible teaches on these subjects. What does the Bible teach about marriage and divorce? 1 Corinthians here, chapter 7, let's read a few verses, beginning with verse number 10. It says, "And unto the married I command, yet not I but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband. But and if she depart, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. But the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband, else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace." And then verse 39 of the chapter says, "The wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she is happier if she so abide after my judgment, and I think also that I have the Spirit of God." Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for all of us being here this evening. I thank you for the opportunity that you've given me to preach from this pulpit. And I pray that you'll bless your word tonight. Help us to have open minds to hear what you have for us. I pray that our young people especially would begin to develop their own convictions when it comes to this matter of marriage and divorce and remarriage, so that they not enter into marriage lightly.
Amen.
But that they take much care in determining who it is that you would have them to marry. And God, I continue to pray that you help the marriages in this church
Amen.
To be strong. Lord, so that our lives would be happier, so that you would be glorified, and so that we can be of a help and encouragement to others who might be having problems. Bless, Lord, as this message goes forth tonight. I pray that the Spirit of God would be at work in our lives. I pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What does the Bible teach about marriage and divorce? Here, to begin with, notice very simply in verse number 10, it commands, and this is a commandment of God, let not the wife depart from her husband. The last couple of weeks we've spent some time looking at the context under which that commandment is given. Some believers here in Corinth, they got saved, their spouse was lost, and they were wondering whether or not they should remain in their marriage. And the scriptures tell the Corinthians, God tells us very clearly, if that's your case, stay in your marriage. stay in your marriage. Very clearly, what God wants us to do is to stay with our spouse if that is at all possible. Stay with your spouse. Let not the wife depart from her husband. Look with me at Matthew chapter 19. Here Jesus was asked of the Pharisees about marriage and divorce. And so probably here in this chapter, we have the most specific answer given to many of the questions that we have concerning marriage and divorce and remarriage. Well, here it says in verse 3, "The Pharisees also came unto him, tempting him, saying unto him, Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause?" Now, the Pharisees had no good intentions in asking this question of Jesus. They were just tempting him. They wanted to get him tripped up in his words, find a reason to find fault with him. But yet every time they did this, they failed miserably. But even though they were asking this question in insincerity, there's a lot of people that ask this question in sincerity. And that is it okay for me to divorce? Is it okay for me to divorce? This is the question that they were asking Jesus. And I want you to notice, first and foremost and primarily here, that Jesus, when he responded to them, he pointed back to the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis, and what did he say? God created marriage to be forever. Notice here, verse 4. "And he answered and said to them, Have ye not read? Our authority is the word of God." Right? That's our authority. That's the standard. It's what you and I as believers are to live by. What the Bible teaches, what the Bible says. We cannot follow our emotions. We cannot follow the philosophies of our neighbors or the principles of the world. We've got to follow scriptural mandates. Jesus said, "Have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, For this cause shall a man leave father and mother and shall cleave to his wife, and they twain shall be one flesh. Wherefore they are no more twain, but one flesh. What therefore God hath joined together, let not man put asunder." There we have for us the perfect will of God concerning marriage. What is the perfect will of God? That a man marry a woman, and they be together till death do them part. Let not man, Jesus said, put asunder. In Romans chapter 3 and in verse 2 and 3, it also tells us that a woman is bound to her husband so long as she's alive. A man is bound to his wife so long as she is living. That's the perfect will of God. I think in that much, all of us ought to be able to agree.
Absolutely.
I mean, that part is clear. When someone wants to ask me about marriage and divorce and remarriage, you know what? There's one thing that I can say with the utmost confidence, and that is God intends for a man and a woman to get married and to be together until one of them dies. Whatever circumstance you want to throw at me, I'm saying, look, the perfect will of God is for a man and a woman to be together forever, or at least till one of them dies. That's the perfect will of God. There should be no disagreement about that. Jesus makes that very clear here in this passage. But someone is still going to say, because I guess they don't believe that they can stay in the perfect will of God for whatever circumstances, and so they're bound to ask the question like the Pharisees, well, is divorce ever permitted? Is it ever allowed? This is the question that the Pharisees posed to Jesus. Is it lawful for a man to put away his wife for every cause? Of course, they attach those last two words, every cause, which probably all of us and most Christians would agree that it is not proper to divorce for every cause. But is there any cause? Is there any time in which God permits divorce? Let's read on here in Matthew chapter 19. In verse 7, they say unto him, "Why did Moses then command to give a writing of divorcement and to put her away. Jesus here pointed back to the book of Genesis. He said marriage is intended to be forever. And so when a couple unites in marriage, no man's to put them asunder. No man's to cause them to be put apart, to be divorced. And they said, well, how come Moses then talked about a writing of divorcement in the Old Testament? Jesus, again, he was quoting Old Testament scripture. And so they have a question, how come Moses allowed this? And he said in them, because of the hardness of your hearts. Moses, because of the hardness of your heart, suffered you, allowed you, that's what that word means, to put away your wives. And notice here, but from the beginning it was not so. Jesus pointing back to the answer that he had already given, from the beginning it was not so. God never intended for there to be divorce. That is not his perfect will. But the question still stands, does God ever permit divorce? Does he ever allow for people to get a divorce? Well, here again, he said, because of the hardness of your hearts, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, gave a writing of divorcement. And verse 9 says, and I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery, and whoso marrieth her which is put away, doth commit adultery. I'm sure this is a verse that most of us are familiar with. Jesus, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and marries another, they've committed adultery. Let's just talk about what we do know as we look and examine that verse. If you divorce and remarry for any other reason other than fornication, the Bible says you've committed adultery. If you have been put away because of your unfaithfulness and you marry another person, you have committed adultery. That's what this verse says, and there are other verses that would confirm that in Matthew chapter 5 and in Mark and Luke's accounts of this very same text. They say the same thing. But as I look at the verse then, I ask the question, is it then permittable for someone who has a spouse that has been unfaithful to be granted a divorce by God? Again, the verse states that if you divorce for any other reason than fornication, you've committed adultery. So if the divorce has taken place because of infidelity and the person remarries, it's not necessarily considered adultery, right? At least that's the way I would conclude. That's what I would conclude after looking at this verse. You know, I want to say this because I always like to point back to Jesus' perfect will of God, that divorce is something that's permitted. It's never required. It's never required. It's never the perfect will of God. It's never God's best for your life. Never.
That's right.
Never. And never would I personally, as the pastor of Shepherdsville Baptist Church, counsel someone to get a divorce, no matter what the circumstances.
Right.
I would never counsel someone to do that. And I'll talk about why here in just a little bit. But here, as you read Jesus' response to the Pharisees, he does permit divorce, although some people will look at this verse, and I'll have you to pay close attention to the words that are used, because maybe they're correct, because the word divorce and the word adultery are not used in every case. It says, whosoever shall put away his wife. I'm assuming that is a synonym to divorce. But then it says, except it be for fornication. It doesn't talk about the sin of adultery.
Right.
And as you look at the Old Testament, in particular Deuteronomy chapter 24, the same type of thing is said. If a man find uncleanness in a woman, he's allowed, he's permitted to put her away. And he's permitted to remarry, and so is she. Now that just causes me a lot of confusion, just so you know. And there are other Old Testament verses that you find as well that make this just a little more confusing than it would be if we didn't consider what the Old Testament said. But as you look at that Old Testament account, we understand that adultery was a sin that was punishable by death. And yet, here in that context, there was nobody being stoned to death. And so the particular sin that's being referenced must not be infidelity. It must not be adultery as we know it. It must be something else. And some people conclude that the something else is that individual, in this particular case the woman, was not pure as she indicated prior to the marriage.
Right.
And then that was discovered, and then the man was able to write her a bill of divorcement. And so there are those that would look at Matthew chapter 19 and look at Jesus' response and still say here that it's not adultery that's in view. It's a young lady or a young man who said they were pure and yet they weren't.
Right.
But is divorce ever permitted? Jesus at least somewhat seems to give us the impression that if it is permitted, it may be permitted when a spouse has been unfaithful. But I would say again, that's not, of course, it's not the perfect will of God that a spouse be unfaithful. But even if a spouse is, I would say the next highest calling is for the one that's been offended to forgive. But God reveals to us that he knows how difficult that can be, at least for a man. In Proverbs chapter 6, it says in verse 30, men do not despise a thief if he steal to satisfy his soul when he's hungry, but if he be found, he shall restore sevenfold. Verse 32 says, but whoso committeth adultery with a woman lacketh understanding. He that doeth it destroyeth his own soul.
Yep.
A wound and dishonor shall he get, and his reproach shall not be wiped away. The thief, he can pay back. He can make restitution for his crime. But the adulterer can't.
Right.
There's no amount of money that the spouse will accept in exchange for the offense. And I think that's what the Lord meant when he said, because of the hardness of men's hearts, because of our inability to forgive such an offense, God has allowed there to be a divorce. But it's, again, not his perfect will. I tell you, this is one of the reasons why we need to put into practice some of the things that we've been talking about over the last few weeks.
Amen.
We need to invest in our marriage so that we never put ourselves in a position for our spouse to be unfaithful.
Amen.
Or for ourselves to be unfaithful,
amen,
for that,
right,
matter.
Yes, sir.
So again, the first question I'm kind of asking is divorce ever permitted? Of course, it would never be the perfect will of God. But it does seem to indicate here in Matthew chapter 19 that if there was a time when divorce is permitted, it's when a spouse has been unfaithful. What about for desertion? That's the other one that's often given, the other circumstance that's given that would justify a divorce. And the scripture that's pointed to is 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Our text in verse 10, again, is the command, let not the wife depart from her husband. Verse 11 says, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. Let me read some more of this again. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. Again, a believer ought to never seek separation or divorce. If the unbelieving husband is let me skip down to verse 15. But if the unbelieving depart, you have a believing person and an unbelieving spouse. If the unbelieving spouse departs, let him depart. You can't stop him. You can't stop her if you have a spouse that is going to seek divorce. You don't have to encourage it, but you can't necessarily stop it. Even in our culture, if a man or a woman want a divorce, they'll be granted it by the courts. Mm-hmm. Even if the other spouse doesn't want the divorce.
Right.
So if someone departs, there's nothing you can do about it. And then it says a brother or sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. Again, is divorce permitted for what some people call desertion? Say your husband, your wife just picks up and leaves you one day. Does that allow you to pursue a divorce? Again, my counsel would always be no. And there'd be a couple reasons for that. Because if you pursue a divorce because your spouse has deserted you, well, number one, it's never the perfect will of God. But number two, if you do that, it removes the possibility of reconciliation.
Right.
And there's a real possibility of that if your spouse is lost. Because if they were to get saved,
yes,
then probably the first thing the Lord would do in working in their life is to try to bring them back with their spouse and to reconcile that relationship.
Right.
So again, is divorce, the question is divorce permitted for desertion? Well, if the lost spouse pursues it, there's nothing that you can do, but I don't know that you should pursue it as a believer. You know, divorce is an ugly thing.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
If you've ever watched it happen to anyone in your family or amongst any of your friends, you know just how ugly and just how painful
right.
it can be to the people that are involved. One person said to me that it's like someone reaching in and ripping your heart out. That's how they described their divorce. And so I want us to realize that as we talk about this subject, and especially as we talk to others about what the Bible teaches on this subject, because you know what? We need to make sure that we are there to help people.
Amen.
Because divorce is very prevalent in our society. What do they say? 50% of the marriages end in divorce in America? That's a lot of divorces. That's a lot of people who have been divorced. And you know what? As we talk to these people, yes, people need to understand if they sinned against God and they need to repent of that sin and gain forgiveness. But we need to understand that people that have went through a divorce, they have felt like their heart's been ripped out of them. They're hurting.
Right.
And we need to try to be a help to them.
Amen.
We don't have to, and by you know embracing them and loving them and caring for them doesn't mean that we're condoning
right.
what it is
Amen.
That they did.
Right.
But understand, probably what's going on in their heart already is a fear that they made the wrong decision, a fear that they did the wrong thing. I mean, if they're a believer, they're most definitely wondering if they did what was right by God. And so if we approach things in the right way, we can be of a great help to people. And that's what we have to remember. We need to try to be a help to people.
Sure.
I mean, divorce is not the unpardonable sin, after all. I don't know there is an unpardonable sin nowadays. So is divorce permitted? That's my first question. If it is permitted, it's permitted in the case of infidelity. But it's not required, even then. Permitted, but not required. Desertion, well, if someone else seeks a divorce, there's nothing you can do to stop them. But that doesn't mean you have to encourage it along.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure I made that as clear as mud, didn't I? What about remarriage? And again, I'm not interested in everybody agreeing with me. Nothing else, I'll throw this out there tonight and cause you to do some more studying and help maybe to help our young people to come to their own convictions. But what about remarriage? This is where you really get into trouble.
Yes, sir.
Is remarriage ever permitted? What about when there has been infidelity? When there has been unfaithfulness? Jesus said here in Matthew chapter number 19, that let me just read it so I don't misquote it. And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication, and shall marry another, committeth adultery. Again, you commit adultery when you've divorced for a reason other than fornication. But what if that was the reason you divorced? Does that permit you to remarry? Does God allow that? Is He okay with that? Of course, I would never counsel someone to remarry after they've been divorced. I used to know the answer to every question about marriage and divorce, just so you know. I don't anymore. I just want you to know that. I think it's because of an increased knowledge, you know, rather than backsliding. I mean, just, you know, I get these things settled and then I'm reading through my Bible and I say, what? Or my wife says, well, what about this? And I don't know about that. I used to know a whole lot more than I know nowadays, just so you know. I guess if this was so easy, most Christians would be in agreement as to what the Bible teaches about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, right? I like to make things simple. That's why I'm going to say over and over tonight, to make it simple, God wants one man to marry one woman and them to be together until death do them part. That's real simple. We just have a way of making things so complicated. I mean, I've had people come to me with different situations and this going on and that going on, and I'm like, oh my, I don't have any idea what you ought to do. I mean, really, you have no idea how complicated some situations can get. And I'm not going to share it all with you either, but sometimes we just mess things up. I don't know, worst case scenario, I say worst case, but God allows you to get divorced because your spouse has been unfaithful. Do you then have the ability, the liberty to remarry? Well, if you do, just understand there's all kinds of complications with that. If you have children, you're still bringing in, you know, a husband or a wife who's not the biological parent of your children. And that's when you have cases of abuse. The percentages increase greatly. There's just problems with that. You know, here in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, at the end of the chapter, Paul, he said in verse 39, the wife is bound by the law as long as her husband liveth. But if her husband be dead, she is at liberty to be married to whom she will, only in the Lord. But she's happier if she shall abide after my judgment. What's he saying? She's going to be happier if she just don't worry about remarrying. And she's allowed to. Very clearly, if your spouse is dead, you're at liberty to remarry. But he says, you know what? She'd be happier if she just doesn't remarry and just give herself to the Lord without distraction. If things didn't work out so well for you the first time, you might not want to enter another marriage. Just so you know. Are you at liberty to do so? Well, maybe. I used to never would have said that. But it appears that that's the one exception the Lord gives, and that is if you divorced because of infidelity, then you're at liberty to remarry. Still not the perfect will of God. I would encourage anyone, maybe they even went so far as getting a divorce, to stay just like you are in hopes that you can be reconciled to
there
your spouse.
There it is, right there.
Because that's the perfect will of God. Here in verse number 11, but and if she depart, let her remain unmarried to be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. I mean, the context here is a little bit different than Matthew chapter 19. I mean, but again, these principles still apply to us. You know, if in the case of desertion, if a spouse leaves, the believing spouse, I don't believe, is at liberty to seek a divorce or at liberty to remarry if their spouse divorces them. I don't believe that would be permitted by Scripture. Again, the conclusion I come to as I look at these things is I need to invest in my marriage. Why? So my spouse won't leave me. That's what I need to do. I'm not very good at that, but I cleaned the whole house for her yesterday. I'm trying to invest in my marriage. The best thing I could do to invest in my marriage is not clean the house. I don't know. I thought I had this message all clear in my mind before I got up here tonight. I'm not so sure I've done a good job of making this clear. But you know what? If you want to study the subject of marriage, look at Matthew chapter 19. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Look at Matthew 5. Look at Romans 7. Look at those passages. Those are the passages that address the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. We know what the perfect will of God is. And so let's strive to live within the perfect will of God. Let's strive to invest in our marriages and make them strong so that we're never faced with a decision as to what to do because of our marital problems. But if, see, that's what's said in the Scripture so often, but if, mm-hmm. but if, let's not worry about the but ifs. That's what I like to tell people, but sometimes you can't help it. Sometimes in the ministry, as a pastor, there are people that come along, they've been divorced. Mm-hmm. They've been remarried. What do they do? Well, you know, if someone gets saved and they've been divorced and now they're remarried, you know what they do? They stay in that marriage and they serve the Lord. Because, you know, again, divorce is wrong, but people can be forgiven for it. And again, once they're forgiven for it, I'm not going to bring it up anymore. You know, there's one gentleman I used to work with. He was telling me about when he was looking for a church to attend. And he went to a church, and he said the pastor preached that it was a sin to golf on Sundays, and it was a sin to get a divorce, and there was some other sin he talked about. I thought, whoa, what a good preacher. But this guy said, I play golf on Sunday. He said, my parents have been divorced. I'm not going to church there. Ain't that how most people look for a church? Find a place where they can be comfortable? Then what he should have did is, if he's looking for a church, I don't know how he's going to play golf on Sunday. Maybe he's going to do that in the afternoon. And just because his parents got a divorce didn't mean that it was right. And it didn't mean that the pastor that was preaching that message was trying to condemn them.
No.
He was just saying it's wrong. And the only, I'm kind of saying some of the things I'm saying tonight because you know what? I don't want any of you to ever contemplate divorce.
Right.
I want you to just scratch it off as an option. It's not an option.
Right.
No matter what happens, no matter what you go through, no matter what circumstances, it's just not an option. If for some reason you find yourself in a situation where you've been divorced from your spouse, you know what? Just scratch off the option to remarry. Just scratch it off. It's not the best thing for you to do. We really mess things up, don't we? But God, He had a perfect plan for our lives back in the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
He brought to Adam His wife. And they became one. And they were supposed to be one until their dying day. You know, I was telling some of you this afternoon at lunch that a couple months ago I just figured out this whole vow thing. And some of you thought that was strange. Sometimes I just figured it out. I just knew it. I just hadn't thought about it recently. But me and my wife, we were just talking about vows. And because she took it serious. I mean, I was 16 years old. I was telling her we read some of the letters. I was going to marry her and be with her forever. She took that stuff serious. I'm like, I was 16. I wasn't such a young man of character as I thought, you know. That's what girls want to hear, right? I don't know if that's what I thought or not, but... But I mean, I'm 16. I mean, when I got married, I just was going with the flow, I think. And she reminded me, you made a vow. You promised me. And so if you're a man of character, you keep your vow. Okay, yeah. That's right. I think we know these things. I know them now.
Amen.
Marriage is meant to be forever.
Yeah.
It's meant to be forever. So let's keep it that way. Or I say forever in this life. Till death do us part.
Mm-hmm.
Again, if some of these things aren't clear to you, study them yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Come to your own convictions before you're faced with having to make some difficult decisions.
Right. Amen.
Again, maybe this message goes right along with the other messages that we've had. Because if you'll invest in your marriage, maybe you'll never put yourself in a position where you have to deal with the next best thing to the perfect will of God. And for you young people, again, enter into marriage carefully. Because again, a lot of people, the mistake they make is marrying the wrong person. Right? And I just say that for the young people, because I don't want any of the adults around here saying, well, I just married the wrong person. Because you didn't. You married the right person. You're right here, right now, where God wants you to be, Shepherdsville Baptist Church. That's one thing I'm confident of. Matter of fact, there's about 25 other families God wants right here, right now. But they're not here yet. But you are. And you're married, and you're married to the person that God wanted you to marry, and if you don't like them, just get over it and start loving them, and it'll all get better. But you young people, you make sure you pick the right person. Now, I tell you what, the way you can ensure that you pick the right person is just leave that decision to mom and dad. Again, that probably don't sound strange to our young people, okay? But to most of the world, that sounds strange. But it's not a strange idea biblically. Abraham sent his servant out to find a wife for his son Isaac. Isaac didn't have anything to do with it. You know, the same thing applies, you know, with the Lord Jesus Christ and God the Father. God the Father, he comes in search for us, you know, looking for us, finding the bride for his son. And our marriages are to picture the relationship that Jesus Christ has with his church. And so you know what? You young men, God's going to bring into your life a person he wants you to marry. You say, how am I going to determine if that's the right one? Well, make your list like we talked about. But rely on mom and dad. That's why he's given you mom and dad. To help you with that decision. Because again, people can really make a mess out of things, folks. I guess sin does that. But again, I guess the one thing I want us to take away from this message is when Jesus was asked about marriage and divorce and remarriage, he said marriage was intended to be until death do you part. That's the perfect will of God. That much we know. We can argue about all the other stuff. All right, but it's too late. I'm your pastor. If you don't like what I have to say, you're stuck with me. Because you can't leave. That'd be unbiblical. Again, I think there's so much confusion on this subject because the Bible probably isn't as clear as we think it is. I mean, I've not even been divorced and I can't figure out. I mean, I used to tell my wife for sure there's no option for divorce. It's just never an option. And I know it's not the perfect will of God, but there are times when God permits it. But don't ever put yourself in a place where you're going to have to get a divorce. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for thy word. And God, I do pray you help us to come to biblical conclusions and convictions regarding these matters. Lord, my prayer would be that everyone that's married here tonight would be married until death do they part. My desire would be that all these young people, if you tarry your coming, and they marry, that they would be married until death do they part. God, help us to not have to concern ourselves so much with all these other peripheral issues by having our marriages intact and healthy and happy. But God, as we have to deal with others from time to time, help us to be clear on these matters. Lord, I know that you have said in your word that the one that teaches someone to break the least of these commandments will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, I never want to encourage anybody to do anything that you would be displeased with. So help me as the pastor of this church to give godly, biblical counsel. Mm-hmm. And Lord, each of us, as we deal with others, we all have opportunity to talk with people who have been divorced and remarried. Help us to approach the subject graciously, but honestly. And so God, just help as this message has went forth this evening. I pray that you'll use it for thy glory and use it for the good of thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me. And let's turn to hymn number 387. have thine own way. 387.